Edward Rushton was the radical, campaigning, blind poet of Liverpool. His life spanned the 18th and 19th centuries at the time of the slave trade, of revolution, and of social upheaval. Forgotten Hero, written by Bill Hunter and narrated by George Sefton, is his story.
Chapter 10. Rushton's Times. The Sailor's Life. The seamen suffered cruel conditions in the merchant ships, and even worse in the navy, and Rushton's hatred of those conditions found expression in his poems. He didn't write about his own personal experience of the years he spent at sea. However, there is an account of the life of a young seafarer who was apprenticed only a few years later than Edward Rushton, and would be sailing under much the same hardships as he did. His name was Samuel Kelly, and his book is a vivid and fascinating record. It was written in 3 paper-covered volumes, which had originally been intended for logbooks. His editor says the manuscript book lay in an old bureau for 100 years before being discovered. It ran to approximately 300,000 words and about 200,000 commas, which flecked the paper like a plague of midges. Samuel Kelly describes his record as being from one whose days have been few and evil, to which he's added remarks, etc., on places he visited during his pilgrimage in this wilderness. While Rushton went to sea just before his 11th birthday in 1765, Kelly had his first voyage in 1778 when he was 14 years old. He spent 17 years at sea, suffering, he says, innumerable hardships and ill treatment. He eventually became a chief mate and then a captain. He left from Falmouth on his first voyage and describes how he was seasick for some weeks.
The night before the ship sailed, I slept on board, but as there was not sufficient room in the place allotted for the men to sling a hammock for each, I had to spread my mattress on a chest. Soon afterwards, a drunken boatswain's mate took possession of my bed and left me to shift for myself. We then sailed, and I became seasick. My messmates took little care of me. I slept, or rather lay about on deck, in holes and corners, being unable to eat or scarcely crawl. My chest was thrown down the main hatchway, having no one to look after it, and, for want of exertion, by the sickness I became dirty and literally a neglected castaway.
The seamen were disciplined brutally. One cold night he crept under the cabin stairs to shelter himself from the winds, but Hall, the sailing master, coming up to see the weather, detected him. Hall ordered the officer of the watch to place him on the poop, in the most exposed situation by way of punishment. Kelly writes that sometimes his face was tarred and blackened when he fell asleep on deck. He completed this voyage, which was to the West Indies, and his father, disapproving of the usage he'd received, found him another ship. Many of the ships were leaky, and Kelly describes how in his early journeys, when the ship lay at Port Royal, Jamaica, they found that the hold was taking in water because a rat had eaten through the side at the water's edge.
Was it not for a superintendent providence, how few seamen would be spared at old age, considering the perils they go through?
Perhaps we should add that old age then was much younger than today. Kelly describes being stationed when at sea in the main top.
I imagine I have slept hundreds of hours in this top, even when the ship has been rolling nearly gunwale in, and often pitching with very sudden jerks against a head sea. But, through mercy, I was never thrown out of the top, and the pillow I made use of was a small box of gunpowder, deposited there for the hankerbusses and blunderbusses in case of engaging the enemy. This dangerous box generally served as a pillow even in thunder and lightning, which is very frequent in squalls in warm climates. The greatest trouble I had in this top was attending the sails that were hoisted onto a long to-gallant mast full 30 feet in the hoist, and on this mast I was obliged to haul myself up by main strength with my hands. When all the sails were set to, taken in and out, and sent into the top, the upper sail was not only a very painful and teasing employment, but also very dangerous, as this mast used to bend and spring like a coachman's whip.
In 1781, the master of the ship he was sailing in took him under his protection to instruct him in navigation, and employed him to sell his adventures on shore in the islands. The adventures were the booty which the privateers took from the ships they captured.
On one voyage, many of the crew were attacked with excruciating pains in their bowels, and I believe nearly half of the men were confined in their hammocks. This disease our surgeons supposed to be the effect of poison. Accordingly, the copper boilers were examined, and a quantity of verdigris was discovered on the inside of the peas copper, which the cook's mate had neglected to clean, as usual. For my part, I escaped by not liking the pea soup. As I was always fond of administering to the sick, I was employed by the surgeon to assist in dispensing the medicines. And in a few days, through mercy, they were all restored. At another time, by some carelessness, the lead beneath the fireplace covering the deck was melted, and the fire burnt through the deck, but providentially the carpenter, going into his storeroom in the cockpit, discovered the fire overhead, and it was soon extinguished. Had it not been discovered so early, as the storeroom contained oakum, pitch, etc., the consequences might have been fatal, and our loss never accounted for. This ship being a contract one, our provisions were of infamous quality. The beef appeared coarse, and such as is cured for negroes. The barrels of pork consisted of pigs' heads with the iron rings in the nose, pigs' feet and pigs' tails with much hair thereon. Each man had 6 pounds of bread and 5 pounds of salted meat per week, but neither beer, neither spirits nor candles were allowed.
There were sadistic officers. Kelly writes of a mate who sailed with his brother, and on the pretense of making him an able seaman, he used to tie him in the weather mizzen shrouds with his face to the weather. His name was Evans, and later he was mate on a ship on which Kelly sailed, and at night visited him on the top. If he thought he would be asleep, and if he found this to be the case, Kelly got a flogging.
If the small sails were furled and the top men were ordered down on the quarterdeck during the night watch, it was almost impossible for the boys to keep their eyes open, unless employed about something. The log was thrown every hour, and if, on the word being given to heave the log, I was not ready, a bucket of water was thrown on me. If Mr. Evans was in the other watch at night, he was on the lookout for my appearance at the relief, and if he found my greatcoat on, he made me take it off and secured it from repetition. I was, notwithstanding this, too cunning for him, by tying up the tail and making it look like a short jacket.
Kelly tells of 20 boys deserting from a ship in a short time because of
the turbulent and cruel disposition of the master. I have seen him strike one with a large iron bolt about 2 feet long.